So today,
I just want to highlight a little piece of writing that really signifies the state of professional philosophy today. What counts for professional philosophy, particularly in the realm of political philosophy. It's a little paper here called A Quandary of Wokeness, which I was alerted to by another channel by the name of Philosophy Roulette. It's a guy that does philosophical read-throughs on Twitch. I don't do Twitch. He cross-posts on Odyssey, which is how I found him. But he walked through this paper top to bottom. It's only 4 pages. It's only a 4-page long philosophy paper. And it's essentially a blog post by a guy who's a white guy, a white woke guy, who's whining about the fact that he feels helpless because he's crippled by essentially the learned helplessness that traps people who are stuck in standpoint epistemology in the standpoint epistemology that grounds identity politics. In other words, you have to act because you're a white guy, but if you act as a white guy, you'll be committing an injustice yourself because you're a white guy, right? So no matter what you do, you're screwed, right? That's the basic complaint of this paper. But I don't want to retread that you can see that on a million other podcasts or hear that on a million other podcasts. What I want to talk about is the fact that he's so ignorant of his own presuppositions that he's never going to be able to escape the problem, which is horrifying and tragic if this person actually is a trained philosopher. And I've highlighted here a perfect example of that, where he describes himself as woke and then tries to provide a definition for that by saying that I am aware of the appalling injustices borne by people in American society because of their sexual orientation, their race, their gender, and other features. And this awareness comes to me through observation and the effort to empathize with people whose experiences it is impossible for me to actually share. Right? That's the standpoint epistemology. The thing is, if it's impossible for you to share any aspect of another person's experiences, then how is it possible for you to empathize? Right? But more to the point, right, he doesn't stop to ask himself at all, what are these injustices? And are they injustices? And what is injustice? Right? I mean, later on, he goes on to sort of attempt to justify this claim by citing statistics that have been so thoroughly beaten to death, debunked, that it's not even worth going through again here, right? The proportion of the population that's black versus the proportion of the population that's incarcerated, the wage gap, the number of Hispanics who are college graduates, certain cherry-picked statistics that he uses to highlight the so-called injustices. So his entire basis for the claim of injustice is resting in specific kinds of disparities that have been pointed out to him, and the assumptions that are carried along with those specific disparities, right? So you're not supposed to ask why this is the case, why 13% of the total population is black, and yet 40% of those incarcerated are black, right? You're not supposed to ask why. You're supposed to take it on faith that there is an injustice here, right? Because these numbers aren't identical, right? That 13% of the population, therefore 13% of incarcerations, right? There's no explanation why these two numbers need to be the same. And there's no questioning of why these disparities are an injustice, because there's no questioning of what justice is. There's just an inborn intuitive assumption that the lack of absolute equality in all aspects of life equals injustice. And then there's a further assumption, right? The further assumption is that injustice, which is the various disparities, could only be the result of white people oppressing black people, or white people oppressing gays, or white people oppressing so-called transgenders or whatever, right? That all injustice is disparity, and all disparity is the result of the dominant race in the country, right? This long chain of assumptions that cannot be questioned. And because they can't be questioned, and because this fellow is trapped in standpoint epistemology, which says that any attempt to try to propose solutions to a group which you don't belong to, or to suggest ways of understanding the world to a group that this group disagrees with, is what they call epistemic imperialism, right? You are erasing their experience and replacing it with the white man's view of things, right? So any attempt to come into a group and to participate in the group to find out how you can help them is going to be fraught with danger, because as a white guy, you can't do anything but, how do they put it in these videos? Shut up and listen, right? In other words, you have to act, right? By putting yourself in positions where you are near them, but you're disallowed from acting, because once you are in their presence, any action you might take is particularly without their explicit permission, is the imposition of imperialism, right? So anyway, the epistemic imperialism and the identity politics stuff is used, I'm using it in this case to show the lack of an analysis or an exploration or a challenging of any of the assumptions of leftist social politics, right? They are just assumed, which to me makes this stuff not philosophy, but some kind of politics underneath which there is a set of philosophical presumptions, but none of which are analyzed. So there's no real philosophy going on here. There's only a kind of socio-political dance going on. In a sense, I guess you could say that these people are creating exactly the scenario that they claim is already the case in Foucault's analysis of the world, right? That everything is just foci of power in competition with each other. They are acting that out through this stuff, right? They are the narratives of power positioning themselves for dominance, right? They are all engaged in the various narratives of power. They're creating the world they claim that they are horrified by when they read Foucault. Foucault has taught them how to create this world, and now they're going and creating it. Well, Foucault and Crenshaw and all of these other people, right? And none of them is stopping to ask, is any of this true? What are we talking about here? What is justice? Why do we equate absolute equality with justice? Why should I take standpoint epistemology as any more valid than traditional epistemology, right? As you read through this paper, you'll find where he's constantly talking about justified beliefs. But in traditional epistemology, knowledge requires three prongs, right? Justification, belief, and truth, right? But they've jettisoned truth. There's only justified belief, and justification is entirely understood in socio-political moral terms, not in logical terms. So that's another problem with this paper that's not analyzed, right? And again, we could say that, well, it's only a 4-page paper, and his main concern is with how do I act? But he's way out in front of questions he should be dealing with first, right? So this paper should have been written after a series of 6 or 7 other papers first, is what I'm saying. That just sort of articulating the learned helplessness of identity politics and considering that a published paper, to me, it's kind of appalling that this is published philosophy. The cry of learned helplessness is now the the exemplar of professional philosophy. And that's just sad.